And our state capitol report continues now. Under a new state Republican bill, people who disrupt events at the University of Wisconsin campuses could be expelled. We will welcome in Republican State Representative Jesse Kramer to discuss his Campus Free Speech Act and why he says it's necessary. And we'll also address your questions or concerns over the bill at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Do you think there should be tougher penalties to promote free speech on college campuses? And how serious a problem do you think UW system schools have when it comes to allowing free speech and expression? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Jesse Kramer is a Republican state representative from Keewascum, a member of the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities, and author of this bill that would create new free speech rules for UW system schools. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Thanks a lot for being with us. Well, in your press release, you say that your bill, the Campus Free Speech Act, will ensure that freedom of expression is not only allowed but encouraged at UW system schools. Why do you say this isn't happening right now?
Well, we have actually found some of the policies on the university campuses right now actually go over and above what is allowed by law. The First Amendment actually states that Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. What we've seen going on around the country right now with Berkeley situation, and we had a situation here last fall when a speaker was invited in, and setting up free speech zones and things of that nature. We're no longer giving First Amendment rights lip service when we're discussing this on college campuses now. We're actually taking action by working on a bill that provides a framework for the Board of Regents to come up with a policy that that has the effect of law. Free expression must be and shall be protected at Wisconsin's publicly funded colleges and universities, and that's what this bill does. Not too long ago actually, and this is a quote, stated that free speech is what universities are all about. If universities don't do everything possible to foster and protect it, they aren't universities, they're playpens. And that was from a Berkeley professor who was also the labor secretary to former President Clinton. It's very important that on our college campuses we protect free speech rights and free expression. This is the place where truths should be challenged, status quo should be challenged and discussed. This is the marketplace of free ideas and we're going to make sure that that is remains in Wisconsin.
Yeah. So is it your opinion that it's mainly conservatives whose free speech rights are being trampled on college campuses or shouted down, or do liberals get it too?
Well, this goes both ways. And when we were coming up with this policy, this is actually something that the ideas in here came from Yale, University of Chicago. They did studies on free speech, and I have Democrats that have been talking to me about this bill. I don't know if you've noticed, but the Democrats in Wisconsin have actually been fairly silent on this issue right now because I think this is going to be a bipartisan bill. This works both ways. I may not like to see someone like Ward Churchill, for instance, come to the University of Eau Claire like he did several years ago. I think he's disgusting and vile and offensive, but that doesn't mean he shouldn't have the right to speak. I don't have to listen to him. Hate speech is and speech that we don't agree with, hate speech is very subjective, but speech that we don't agree with is something that must be protected by this Constitution, by the U.S. Constitution. Just because we don't agree with it and just because it may hurt our feelings or maybe something we don't like to hear doesn't mean that it should not be allowed.
Your bill would create penalties for people who disrupt free expression on UW system campuses by engaging in violent, abusive, indecent, profane, boisterous, obscene, unreasonably loud, or otherwise, or other disorderly conduct. Former UW System President Robert O'Neill, who teaches law now in Virginia, says that that list is unconstitutionally vague or imprecise or undefined. What's your reaction to that criticism?
I agree with him.
Oh, really? So you're willing to change that?
I do. This is something that, so there are a variety of people that were involved in the drafting of this bill, and we've been going back and forth with a number of different suggestions and ideas. We've been running this through a group, an organization called FIRE, that does a lot of work with going around the country and working on free speech issues. There's another group that a think tank in Arizona, the Goldwater Institute, Stanley Kurtz there, that I've been talking to on this issue also. He was the initial author of this of the model policy that this was based on. Stanley Kurtz, when I talked to him the other day, he believes that this is constitutional, and my understanding is that when this was run past the Department of Justice in Wisconsin, they feel that they can defend this also. The Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, however, FIRE, and some Democrats I've talked to, and even me myself, I have concerns about some of the language in here, and I believe that we can accomplish the same goal and by changing it slightly, and I'm going to suggest this amendment where it discusses the violent, abusive, indecent, profane, boisterous, obscene, reasonably loud. These are all very subjective statements, but if we change that to something along the lines of or other disorderly conduct that materially and substantially disrupts free expression and free speech, it accomplishes the exact same thing.
So let's say there's one or two or three or more students at a speech and they boo someone. That's disrupting that speech?
Yes, it is actually.
Yeah.
You would not be, so that's along the lines of the heckler's veto that's been discussed a lot, and people have been hearing about that in the media, I'm sure, about this bill, about the North Carolina bill that was out there. Certain speech is allowed, and certain speech is not allowed. Speech that is not allowed is already illegal. Threatening to inflict harm, quid pro quo, sexual harassment, peer-on-peer harassment, defamation, invasion of privacy and confidentiality. Those are things that are all illegal and have gone through Supreme Court challenges. But speech that is legal, expressing yourself on a college campus or bringing in speakers or heckling someone during that speech is something that is not allowed because you are inhibiting free expression and free speech on that campus. So this is something that will not be tolerated on our university and college campuses anymore. People have the right to hear someone is saying. The bill actually states that any person lawfully present on campus may still protest or demonstrate there. However, they shall not interfere with the rights of others to engage in or listen to expressive activity. So that doesn't mean that you can't stand outside the event and hold up signs and talk to people when they're going into the event. It just means that you can't interrupt that event while it is going on. And that doesn't mean that you can't, you know, if it's a question and answer type forum, obviously, that's the way it is. I mean, the individual who's running it is taking questions, and that's meant to, you're meant to challenge and discuss and debate.
Yeah.
That's something completely different from interrupting someone and trying to basically shut down free expression and free speech.
We're going to check news and then we'll be back. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with Jesse Kramer, who is a Republican state representative from Keewaskum, a member of the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities. He is the author of a bill that would create new free speech rules for UW system schools. It would call for a discipline or even possible expulsion of students who disrupt campus events or the free speech of others. What do you think of this? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Brandy on Facebook says, this law regarding interrupting speeches at campus is nothing but a reaction to what happened with Ann Coulter. I am sick of these haphazard laws coming into effect that are merely reactionary to something that happened somewhere else. They tend not to be thought out that well. What's your response to that, Representative Kramer?
Well, I can tell you this is not a reactionary law, and it's not something that hasn't been thought out. This is something that throughout the history of this country, we have been having censorship and challenges with the First Amendment and obviously Supreme Court cases and precedent. One of the first most egregious ones started with President John Adams, where he used it for political partisan purposes and shutting down the other side and basically jailing reporters and jailing people who disagreed with him. It's gone both ways throughout history. The abolitionist movement, the civil rights movement, black speech, which was banned. Abolitionist speech, which was banned in the Victorian era. Immoral speech was banned just because someone did not like the speech. The Supreme Court has actually stated that there are several different subsets of what people term hate speech because it's very subjective. One of those is psychically harmful hate speech. And even if it causes emotional harm or discomfort, this type of speech is constitutionally protected. And we're ensuring that that this speech will be protected on our campuses. The burden is on the campuses to decide, you know, this is something that is illegal and should not be discussed. And illegal things are still not allowed to be discussed, or illegal forms of expression are still not allowed to be used on a college campus. So this is something that has been very well thought out. This had nothing to do with Ann Coulter. It had nothing to do with the gentleman who came to the UW campus last fall, and I didn't even hadn't even researched that when I was looking into this bill and starting to draft it.
Now let me go to Tim in Eau Claire now. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
I'm sorry, Tim. I really apologize, but we can't make you out on your phone. It's just staticky. Cole in Madison is with us. Hi, Cole.
Hi. I was wondering if your guests could explain exactly how they define the freedom of speech being inhibited. And you talk about like disruptive behaviors and things like that, but when you give me an example that if somebody boos, that might be considered disruptive. That seems like a pretty broad brushstroke, and that it could very easily be used to just remove people from a crowd that simply disagree with speech going on. If the whole point of free speech is to be there as a check or us to express disagreement, then how exactly are you going to define how something is inhibiting that free speech?
Representative Kramer?
Well, simply because someone disagrees with what is being said or expressed on a college campus doesn't mean that there needs to be a check in place on that person. They're allowed to say whatever they want to say. You don't have to sit there and listen to it. You can go somewhere else. There's a variety of speech that I consider hate speech that is highly offensive and hateful from my opinion, but it's protected. For instance, excuse me, the Westboro Baptist Church individuals who protested at Fallen Hero funerals several years ago, putting up signs near a funeral that said, "Thank God for dead soldiers," the burning of a flag. I find these highly offensive and hateful, but that doesn't mean that they're illegal. The goal of a university and college isn't to challenge and answer evil speech, or is to actually challenge and answer evil speech with more and better speech, but outside of that forum. Let the person talk. If it's not an open forum where it's a Q&A, then you go and you have your own speech or expressive activity down the road, and you discuss what's being said a couple blocks away.
So what kind of activity, I know it's hypothetical, but if a student can be expelled for disrupting an event like, you know, a speech, what kind of disruption would justify expulsion?
So what this bill does is it creates a new Council on Free Expression. The Council on Free Expression governing board will basically review how issues like this play out in the university system and how they're addressed and what happens with them. They're going to issue a yearly report to the Board of Regents, who are going to create the policy based on the framework that we are telling them to create here, and it's going to be very public. It's going to be very transparent. It's going to be on the UW websites. The governor is going to have a copy of this, and the legislature is going to have a copy of this. Just because you interrupt a free expression or free speech on a college campus does not mean you're going to get expelled tomorrow. We created something in this bill that is actually really fresh and revolutionary on a college campus in Wisconsin, and that is due process for an accusation. All disciplinary cases involving expressive conduct, students will be able to have a disciplinary hearing with published procedures. And with that hearing, you have the right to see your charges. You have the right to call witnesses. You have the right to confront witnesses. This will be in front of an impartial arbiter or panel. You have the right to appeal. You have the right to counsel, or we're even going to suggest bringing a representative of your own, like a parent. Something we didn't add in here that I think we're going to add yet is you can videotape the proceedings, and you are not getting suspended instantly. If you do this twice, yes, there will be a requirement that you are suspended for a minimum of one semester or expulsion, but that's twice. So you've already gotten a warning once, and every freshman under this bill will have orientation as to what is, you know, what is protected on a college campus and what is not, and what the penalties are for inhibiting free expression and free speech.
The caller who had a bad phone line was going to say something along the lines of, by passing this bill, this infringes on the free speech rights of students. How do you respond to that argument?
Well, it doesn't. And as I discussed before, the heckler's veto aspect of things, what about free speech on the other side? The bill states that just because they're not allowed to interfere and shall not interfere with the rights of others to engage in or listen to expressive activity, does not mean that any person lawfully present on campus may protest or demonstrate there. They can still protest or demonstrate outside of it, just like in the Capitol building every day. There are protesters in the Capitol building every day. But they can't interfere with the goings-on and the work of people working in that building. You're still allowed to protest, and you're still allowed to express yourself freely. It's just that you cannot, on the college campus, inhibit free expression and free speech of others.
Todd in Green Bay is with us now. Hi, Todd.
Hey, good morning, Joy. Good morning to your guest. A couple of points. One is that I think that this needs to apply, the law needs to apply to campus administrators as well, because in the Berkeley case, for instance, there was, when they had the riots up there last month, there was the police there were told by the administration, I think these must have been campus police, but they were told by the administration to stand down and not interfere with the violence that was going on. And Ann Coulter was allowed to speak on campus, but the administration there made it clear that they would not take any responsibility for her safety. In other words, they would not mandate that the police, campus police, stand in and protect her in any way. So I think that there's a couple of things that need to be added to your law. One is that the administrators do their job and police do the job that they've taken an oath to do, and also that conservative speakers be given the same opportunities to speak in the same kind of venues that liberal speakers are allowed to do, because...
Like, yeah, I'm going to jump in because we're running short on time, Todd, but how about that aspect that this should apply to the administration and the policing of such events?
Sure. So we didn't get into the policing of things because we're not going to tell police how to do their jobs. Threat aspects and things like that, we just don't get into that, you know, how they deal with threats and how they deal with taking care of situations. The administration at Berkeley, this is something that's been going on for a few months that actually needs to be addressed at the university. I know that that group FIRE is looking into this. They've been out there working with the university. This is something that the university has not been taking care of and ensuring that that people have safe places to speak when they get to university and security. One of the things that's in this bill, though, is that the administration, if there is threat or they're not able to provide security and safety for a speaker, that they would have to provide another venue, so a time and place for another venue that that is accessible by everyone, so that the university is still promoting and not inhibiting the free speech of others.
Some free speech advocates are questioning a part of the bill that appears to tell the University of Wisconsin officials that they should not take political stances. Is that what the bill does?
Well, this is a part of the bill called the Neutrality Clause, and there are two portions to that clause. And we got a legislative council memo from the drafters and the legal experts that work with the legislature just a few days ago. The first part of this Neutrality Clause states that it's an aspirational goal for the UW system to strive to maintain a neutral position regarding contemporary public policy controversy. One of the questions that we've been getting is, does this mean the university cannot lobby the legislature anymore for certain issues? No, it does not. The legislative council memo said plainly it does not contain a prohibition on lobbying. The university system, though, is instructed to strive, and that's in quotes, to remain neutral as an institution. And that's up to the university governing board, that new organization that we're creating, to decide what that means. They'll be able to determine what that means. The other part of this section, and this has to do with the compel- argument that's gone through the Supreme Court. It would prohibit the UW system from taking action as an institution on public policy controversies in such a way as to require students or faculty to actually publicly express a given view on social policy. This is a ruling that was in Supreme Court in 1943, and it went along the lines of back then it was a case that had to do with K-12 kids being told that they have to get up and do the Pledge of Allegiance. Well, there was a child that did not want to, went to court, went to Supreme Court, and they basically said you cannot compel someone to state the Pledge of Allegiance because of the compelling argument.
Well, less than 15 seconds, how confident are you that this is going to pass the legislature and be signed into law?
You know, Joy, I am very confident. I am also very confident that we will have Democrats supporting this bill and voting for it in the end.
Thank you very much for being with us, State Representative Jesse Kramer from Keewaskum. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.